with the administrative load in this church, and the board has approved that, and now we need to vote on that as members. And so it's only going to be 6 to 8 hours a week just to start off with, and that'll be in 2 weeks on Sunday, July 18th, right after church. And if you have any questions, we will do our best to answer all your questions. So members, please mark that down, and we would appreciate it if you could come on that day. Amen. By now, maybe you have heard of the Q theory going around our nation, around the world. It's called QAnon. It's quite a phenomenon that's really taken hold in right-wing politics and some conservative people. And my concern is that it's actually even gotten into the Church of Jesus Christ. I'm a little loud up here, Becky, so if you can turn me back, please. As you know, the church has been praying for a spiritual awakening for many years for this nation, that God would have mercy on this great nation. But some people have said, well, the great awakening is a QAnon awakening, which I reject as a follower of Jesus Christ. I want to talk to you. Maybe you don't even know what's going on with this QAnon thing, but the mainstream media has tried to shut it down. I'm not here to support it or to block it. I'm here to let you know that as Christians, we need to know our doctrine of what's going to happen in the last days. And this QAnon, some people call it conspiracy, has affected the presidential elections. It's affected the COVID-19. It's affected the Black Lives Matter movement. And really, it has really reignited in the last couple of years. 17% of Americans wholeheartedly believe this. Now, the QAnon people believe that there is a group of satanic people in this world. They are elites who run a child sex ring, who control our politics in America and around the world. How many have ever heard of the QAnon? Raise your hand. All right. That's good. YouTube is the reason why it's gone viral, and now YouTube is trying to shut it down, but it may be a little bit too late. So let me tell you a little bit more about QAnon, and then we're going to go to the Bible to see what the Bible says about the last days. Amen? But QAnon is an umbrella term for an internet conspiracy, true or not, I'm not here to tell you, that this world is run by a cabal of satanic worshipers who trade sex slaves all around, especially children, and people that are part of it are many Democrats, President Joe Biden, Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, George Soros, entertainers Oprah Winfrey, Tom Hanks, Ellen DeGeneres, religious figures like Pope Francis and Dalai Lama, that believe that they're molesting children, selling them, and even killing them and eating a part of them so that it'll give them adrenochrome. This is the QAnon conspiracy. According to QAnon, they recruited Donald Trump to run for president back in 2016 to drain the swamp and to bring these pedophiles, sex traffickers, Satan worshipers, you know, to get them out of the politics and around the world. Now, what concerns me as a pastor is that what these QAnon prophets have been saying have been a little parallel to what some of the prophets in the body, the American church, have said. And it's not exact, but you need to be aware of it, and you need not to be deceived or sucked into it, because it's a very dangerous thing. It goes back to an old theology called Kingdom Now theology, where the church will take over the world by force, and we will destroy everyone who is against Christ, and when we've taken over the world, we will usher back Jesus Christ. It's called Dominion theology, Kingdom Now theology. It's always come up in the church history, and we reject that. We reject it because you can't have a kingdom without a king. You can't have the peace of the world without the Prince of Peace. But we still pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We still pray, Lord Jesus, come. Amen? And so this is the QAnon thing. And again, I'm not saying it's true or not. But they predicted Trump would get reelected and then he would arrest all these people in the QAnon and they would bring them down to Guantanamo Bay and they would have a military tribunal. And everything that they've said so far has not happened. And so what do they say? It's coming. It's coming next month. It's coming next week. And so when President Trump was not elected last year, they say it was stolen. Well, maybe it was stolen. I don't know. I'm not here to argue that. They say it was stolen, and he'll be in office before Joe Biden gets inaugurated, and there are arrests coming down, and Washington, D.C. is locked down, and the United States military is ready to go in and make all these arrests. And has any of this happened yet? No. It's coming. It's coming. Well, I have a hard time believing it because every time they say something's going to happen, someone wrote me in June, there's a big thing happening this weekend. Tell your church, don't be upset if it didn't happen. Nothing happened. Trump's going to be in office by August. That's the latest. By August 2021, President Trump will be back in the office. I'm not holding my breath. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man or the woman of God may be mature, equipped to do every good work. If you're going to do a good work for Jesus Christ, how many know you better have good doctrine? And what concerns the church of Jesus Christ and the leadership is not that Satan is going to destroy this church. What concerns us sometimes is when Satan wants to join the church and bring ideas in, and it brings confusion. And so let's be careful about that. You've heard me say many times, I've said it many times, people do stop making every new president a messiah. Americans have a terrible habit of doing this. Bill Clinton, the next Messiah. George Bush, the next Messiah. Barack Obama, the next Messiah. Donald Trump, the next. They're going to save this country. Presidents are important, amen? We need to vote for them. But they're not Messiahs. That's why we're to pray for them. President Biden, he needs our prayers. But when we attribute Messiah-type things, it undermines the whole end-time theology of the second coming of Jesus Christ. I thank God for this nation. I thank God for the presidents. I pray for them. But let me tell you something. The United States has been greatly used of God. I am so grateful for this nation. But we're not going to have what we want, QAnon, what they want, until Jesus Christ returns. And that's our job to pray it in. So let's turn in your Bibles. I want to show you what's going to happen for 1,000 years when Jesus Christ returns. This is what we believe. The 1,000-year reign of Jesus, where he's the king of the whole earth, it's called the millennium. You heard of the Millennium Falcon with Star Wars? Something like that. It's called the millennium. So let's go to Isaiah 65. Ladies, you can put it up there, 65, verse 18. Isaiah 65, 18. And this is after Jesus Christ has come. I'm going to read what QAnon is hoping is that the United States military wipes out all the evil people and establishes godliness on this nation. It's a nice idea, but it's not going to happen without Jesus Christ. And so when Jesus comes back, it says in, I'm going to read it because there's quite a few scriptures we're going to read today. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem as a rejoicing and her people a joy. How many know Jerusalem is not rejoicing today? It's got rockets fired into it every day almost, or every week. I will rejoice in Jerusalem in the joy of my people. The voice of weeping shall no longer be heard in her, nor the voice of crying. I mean, you know, there's a lot of tears in Jerusalem. This is the millennium. Jesus has come back. No more shall an infant from there in the millennium live but a few days. No miscarriages. No babies dying a couple of days after birth in the millennium. Nor an old man who has not fulfilled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat in them. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree, so shall the days of my people. And my elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. I mean, over in Israel, there's a tree older than Jesus Christ, over 2,000 years old. So when the millennium happens, people are going to live 2, 3, 4, 500 years old. Next verse, please. 23. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth children for trouble. Ladies, this has nothing to do with you because we're going to have our glorified bodies. But when they give birth then, there'll be no more birth pains. For they shall be descendants of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. Two more verses, verse 24. It shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are speaking, I will hear. For the wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat what? Like the ox, and the dust shall be the serpent's food. Ladies, you don't need to be afraid of snakes in that day. They shall not hurt nor destroy in any of my holy mountain, says the Lord. That's Jerusalem. So this is the thousand-year reign when Jesus Christ comes back and he lifts the curse of sin. Sin is still here. Sin is still in people's hearts. But the curse of sin is lifted. You know what the curse of sin is, right? It's death. It's the death of the planet. It's the death of the body. It's the death of people. It's the death of all creation. Well, now I want you to turn to Matthew 25. And ladies, turn to Matthew 25, 31. And what we're going to do is we're going to look at the second coming of Christ. And when he comes, what's going to happen? This is right out of the Bible, all right? But before we do that, let's open up in a word of prayer, all right? Father, in Jesus' name, as we talk about your Son's rule and reign, the millennial reign on this earth, help us, Lord, not to be deceived. Your word tells us in the last days there'll be doctrines of demons in the church, deceiving spirits in the church that will try to deceive people. Help us, Lord, to put our trust in your word, for your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, I showed to you Isaiah when he comes back and he sets up the reign. But now I want to show to you the second coming of Christ, what's going to happen. It's not going to be QAnon. It's not going to be the United States generals. All right? You need to know this. But so many times people see evil, and it is evil what's going on in our world. And God warned us of this in the last day. But it's Christ who's going to come back and set things up. So in chapter 25 of Matthew, verse 31, we're going to go down to 46, okay, ladies? When the Son of Man, that's Jesus Christ, comes in his glory, and all of his, go ahead of me, all of his holy angels, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. The King of Kings is going to sit on his throne. Next verse. And the nations, including Canada, the United States, Mexico, Europe, China, everything, will be gathered before him in Jerusalem, and he will separate one from another, one nation from another, as a sheep divides the sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand and the goats, the terrible nations, on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, the good nations, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom. It's the millennium. Prepared for you, the kingdom of God, from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. Thank God for the food pantry here, amen? I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous, the nations, will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it unto who? Me. Then he will say to the wicked nations of this planet that is alive right now, he will say to those on his left, the goats, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. I was naked, you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they will also answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger, or naked or sick or in prison, and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Now let's talk about this. Thank you, girls. Let's talk about this millennium. What's going to happen? All right? I'm grateful for every president. I'm grateful for a lot of the things that President Trump did. I'm praying for President Biden and everything that's going on. But the Bible says in the last days, evil will get worse, and there's going to come a time when Jesus will come back and rapture the church. Not going to talk about that, but the church will be taken to heaven before God pours out his wrath on people who've rejected his son, Jesus Christ. Right now, we're in what we call the church age. It's an age of grace. Anyone can be saved. Anyone can come to Christ. But when the church goes up after that, it's going to change a bit. God will begin to pour out his wrath. It'll be a 7-year period, and at the and there's going to come a Messiah into this world who we call the Antichrist, and the people who reject Jesus Christ will embrace this guy as the true Messiah. The Muslims will say it's the Messiah. The Jews who have rejected Jesus Christ, they will say it's the Messiah, and he will bring peace for 3.5 years. After 3.5 years, he'll begin to destroy the world. 1/3 of all the trees will be burned up. 1/3 of the whole population of this earth will be destroyed. 1/3 of the waters in the oceans will be destroyed. This guy will wreak havoc, and God will pour his wrath on people who have rejected his son, Jesus Christ. It will not be QAnon. It will not be President Trump, though I like President Trump. It will not be the United States Army. Though I'm grateful for that. I have 2 boys that served in the United States Army. Do not be deceived by some of the stuff that's going around. Because if you let it into your thinking, it'll harden your heart. When's it going to happen? Next month, next month, next month, next month. The Bible says, look up, your redemption draws nigh. Now we still need to pray for our nation. We still pray that God will be just and will root out evil, amen? But until that comes, we need to pray, Lord Jesus, you come. Go to number 1, please, the millennial reign of Christ. When Christ comes, what I just read in Matthew 25, he will come to conquer. We will come back with him as a church. Listen to me. we will have new bodies. These bodies that ache, you know, arthritis and back pain and, you know, knee problems and migraines and all that stuff. When we go up in the rapture, we're going to get the new bodies that Adam and Eve had, all right, before they sinned. They will be immortal. We will never have sickness. And when we go up in the rapture, when we come back with Jesus, we will never be tempted to sin. We will never give in to rebellion. We will never be on the wrong side again. And we will come back and conquer with his holy angels in Jesus Christ. Go to the next scripture, please, would you? The next scripture says, "Now I saw heaven open and a white horse. He who sat on him was called Faithful and True." We know that's Jesus. "And in his righteousness he makes" who? What? Who makes war? Our Jesus. Our Jesus. "Out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that it, with it he will strike" what? "The nations. And he himself will rule them with" all right. He's right now, the first time Jesus Christ came, he came as a lamb. The next time he comes as a lion. We sing about that, don't we? The lion and the lamb. But sometimes we forget he's more than a lamb. And when he comes back the second time, us and the holy angels with him, he's going to come back to judge evil. He's going to judge all the pedophiles and Satan worshipers and the sin and everything else, but it will not be judged until Jesus Christ comes back. There's an apologist, Dr. Mike Brown, who I follow. He's a very respected Christian. He's a messianic Jew. And he's been trying to warn the church for a while of people getting sucked up into this QAnon, and people have been mocking him. And he says, what, they got 7, 8, 9 predictions, and not one of them have come to pass. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. Don't. Look in the scripture. It's so important that we be ready, because if we're all focused on the United States being the savior of the world, who needs Jesus? You with me? Who needs Jesus? I had a man argue with me and fight with me. He left the church over this. It's so silly. We're on the short wave radio. Got to go on the short wave radio because they're telling us what's coming. Don't be deceived. Know your doctrine. Don't take it because I say it. Look at the scripture. When Jesus Christ comes back, he's going to lift the curse of sin. You know what's going to happen? It's going to be an ideal. You know, before the flood, that the whole earth was a tropical from North Pole to South Pole? It was all tropical, the whole earth. There was no rain. Every morning, the mist would come up and water the whole earth. It was beautiful. And Jesus is going to restore that. There was no tilt of an axis. Do you know why we have four seasons? Because of the flood and the waters that came on the earth, it shifted the earth to an axis so that we have four seasons. There was no four seasons before Noah's flood. Did you know that? How many like summer? It's going to be summer all the time. It's going to be all the time. And Jesus is going to restore that when he comes back. And like I said, the Antichrist is going to, there's going to be war, there's going to be one-third of the earth is going to be destroyed with war. World War III. And Christ is going to come back and set it up. And there's going to be rivers in deserts. There's going to be rivers in the Sahara. There'll be no more deserts, no more wastelands. When Christ comes back, he's going to conquer the human body, not us. We already have a new body. But the ones that went through the great tribulation and into the millennium will be like you and I today. They will be human. And some of them will be allowed to go in with nations. I pray that the United States is allowed to go into the millennium. I don't know. I think it will. It's been such a great nation. But only Jesus decides what nation goes in based on the works of the nation. And so it won't just be Christians that go into the millennium. There'll be non-Christians. Because God is so just, he's not willing that any should perish. He will let people go into the millennium to receive Christ or to harden their heart. And so you need to know this. Sin will still be in people's hearts, but it won't be on the earth or the bodies. There's going to be a population explosion. There may be 10, 12, 15 billion people on the earth. Don't believe all these people that say, oh, we have too many people on the earth now. We need to kill off the earth. It kills me. Hollywood, Marvel Comics, you know, and some of the stuff. You got to kill off. We got too many people today. We got to kill them off. Well, when Christ comes back, it's probably going to double what we have today. And we don't need to be afraid. He has everything in control. Go to the next scripture, please. This is the one I love in Isaiah 65. I'll read it while they put it up. Isaiah 65, ladies, the next one. Oh, I guess we don't have it. Zechariah 14:9. It might just went down. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day it shall be, the Lord is one, and his name is one. All right? And the Lord shall be king over all the earth, the whole earth. There's going to be a monarchy. And in that day, the Lord is one, and his name is one. God help us. Let's go to number two. Not only will Jesus Christ, when he comes back, conquer every army, every nation. Not every nation's going to fight with him. But number two, he's going to, like I said, he's going to reverse the curse. He's going to heal. There's going to be no sickness in the millennium. No one will be sick, blind. No one will have arthritis. No one will have any disease. And that's why we believe in healing now. Healing today is a foreshadow of the millennium when Christ comes back. And I believe the Church of Jesus Christ will be helping him going out, healing the sick. There'll be no sickness because sickness comes from sin. Go to the next scripture. There's going to be a regeneration. That he, God, might send Jesus Christ, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things. You could also put regeneration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. Acts 3. So there's in the New Testament, there's two times that the word regeneration is mentioned, only twice. This is a bad translation. Restoration should be regeneration. The first time is in Titus 3, 5, and 6, where it tells you, you don't get saved by doing good works. It says, not by works of righteousness which you have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. By the washing of regeneration and by the renewal of the Spirit. The first regeneration God does when someone comes to Jesus Christ is that he makes you new on the inside. He regenerates the new. He regenerates your spirit. You've heard the term born again. Before you knew Christ, your spirit was dead. Your sin killed it. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so when you get saved, he regenerates your dead spirit. It's a miracle. That same regeneration, what he does for you when you embrace Christ, he's going to do out to the whole planet when he comes back. He's not just going to regenerate you. He's going to regenerate the whole earth. The whole earth. It's amazing. It's just amazing what he's going to do. And everything is going to be beautiful for 1,000 years. Our natural bodies, we have the glorified bodies. Do you understand? We'll be down here with glorified bodies with people with natural bodies. You with me? Am I confusing you? Are you following me? Some people will have the bodies we have today. Some of us are going to have supernatural bodies. That's us, the church. The church. And it's going to be the greatest time. Ever since Jesus Christ died, people have tried to bring in the millennium, peace, prosperity, without Jesus Christ. It's not going to work. Thank God for the United States of America. Thank God for this nation. If it wasn't for this nation, and I have to give a little credit to Canada up north, North America, it's these two nations that solved World War I. It's these two nations that helped resolve, and the Russians, World War II. He's used these nations. But there's coming a time when all the nations are going to unite behind an Antichrist. But we don't need to fear. We're going to go up with him. Amen. Next scripture. I threw you off with the Isaiah one. Sorry there, Janelle. And when we are done, we have our new bodies. We will be back here on earth for 1,000 years, a millennium. It says, no more shall an infant in the millennium from there live but a few days, nor an old man who has not fulfilled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner 100 years shall be accursed. Now, remember I said, the curse of sin is lifted, but sin is still here. Sin will not be destroyed until he creates a new heaven and a new earth. But he's going to lift the effects. So during that time, if someone dies 100 years old, they're going to say, "Ah, poor baby. So young, only 100 years old. And of course, if he dies at 100, it's because of some sin. Just some sin. But we're good, not us, but those at the time, they're going to live 200, 300, 400, 500, 600 years old. Anyone ever heard of Methuselah? 969 years old. You imagine how many grandchildren he had? It's going to be like that. It's going to be like that. Don't get tripped up with conspiracy theories. Be careful. Be careful. If we start believing all these things, you know, it can change our heart. It can guard our heart. Jesus said, until I come, he said, occupy until I come. You know what that means? Keep doing the work of the kingdom. Keep coming to church. Keep using your time. Keep giving your treasures. Keep using your talents. Keep ministering. Keep doing the food pantry. Help out in the church. Keep opening your mouth. Let your testimony go forth. Tell them that Christ is coming. But don't get sidetracked into, you know what? The United States is the Messiah and we're going to take over this. Don't get sidetracked on this stuff. So many innocent people get sidetracked on it, and it's not there. It's not there. I'm praying that the United States goes in the millennium. I can't even find the United States in the Bible. That's what scares me. It's not even in the Bible. But we pray for this nation, and we thank God for this nation. And we don't fight with brothers and sisters in Christ over stuff like what's going to happen tomorrow. Who's going to be the next president? You know what? We are to encourage one another. Amen? We're to love one another. And where there's differences, how many know not everything is black and white in this world? How many know there's a lot of gray areas? In the gray areas, let there be love. Let there be love. Amen. Now, I have a few more things I want to say about the millennium, but I'm going to cut it short. I'm going to ask you to stand with me. I'm going to ask you to stand and let us celebrate the 4th of July today. But before we do, I can't think of a better thing to do than to close our service, maybe coming down to the altar and praying for our nation. Just coming down and praying for it. How many know our nation is a little bit of a trouble? And there are things going on in our nation. I'm not putting my finger on anyone. I'm just saying our nation has some problems. And it is the church's responsibility to pray. It's not the church's responsibility to point fingers, but to pray. And I'm going to ask you to come down and just, I'm going to ask all of you just to come down. I'm going to ask Christine if you would come down with the musical team, and we're going to just spend a few minutes. I purposely finished on early. It's not even 12:15 yet. But would you come on down and just find a few places around the altar? And let's pray for our nation. Let's pray for President Joe Biden. Let's pray for our Congress. Let's pray for the Supreme Court. All these things that are going on. And let's just take a few minutes today before we celebrate our gratitude for this nation. Let's just find a place and let's just pray. And then after a few minutes, one of us will close in a word of prayer, all right? So let's just do that. We'll just go ahead, Christine, whatever you want to. Thank you, Jesus.